The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 57 for June 13th, 2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome to this little piece of rock and roll that we call the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab.
What?
Well, it's, you know, we've always done this on, with kind of a rock and roll attitude, right? I mean, that's just what we do. It's what we do, right? This is our anniversary show in that a year ago today, John and I recorded the first episode that you ever heard, Mac Geek Gab number one. It wasn't released on the 13th of June. It was actually released on the 14th because it needed to run through all sorts of management approval. And of course, the RSS wasn't as automated as it should have been. And, you know, a lot has changed for us in the last, anyway.
Yeah.
We do have some anniversary related stuff that we will pepper in throughout the show. But otherwise, it will be a fairly normal geek as we continue the conversations that we have we've all begun together here over the last couple of weeks, and that's that, right? You're with me, right, John?
Kumbaya. Oh,
that's just a taste of what's to come.
It doesn't seem like it's been a year.
No. You know what?
So we've come a long way, and our family or our listeners have come a long way. Well, no, they've been pretty much. They've been learning something. I think.
I hope
and
so.
And we've been learning something too.
That we have. Yeah. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is pick up our remote access discussion from last week. There were many, many things that came in. A couple of them, and we'll start with one from RJ, I think, is probably the way to get things going here. So, RJ, take it.
Hey, guys, it's RJ from Appleton, Wisconsin. You guys do a great show, and I appreciate all the hard work that you do. One thing that I thought you left out of your remote access segment was the fun little widget that you get with Apple Remote Desktop 3. Not sure if you had a chance to play with it, but it's definitely worth a look. So take a look at it and let us know what you think. Thanks,
RJ. Did you take a look at that, John?
I am, as we speak, believe it or not.
Of course, the folks at Apple had made sure to walk me through that on our briefing, and I had actually checked it out beforehand and of course, completely forgot to mention it during our discussion. It is actually pretty cool. In fact, it's just a little widget that will show you the status, the screen, actually, of a single remote machine. And, of course, you can pick them from your various machines in your list. The cool part is when you go and revisit your dashboard, it'll, you know, go ahead and update the screen with that of whatever you were looking at last. So if you've got something you need to keep an eye on, you do not need to have remote access running. You can just quickly switch to the dashboard and bam, there it is. So.
Oh, cool. I'm doing it right now on the G5, which is the Skype machine. I'm moving the window, and on the G4, it's moving in the widget.
Very cool.
I'm still audible, right?
You are.
So it's not chewing too much
audible. Yes.
So it's not chewing too much bandwidth. So, wow, that
living
is very
living on
nice,
the edge.
Though.
See, that's rock and roll right there. Living on the edge.
Okay.
Right. See, that's what I meant by that.
I'm with you, brother.
I kind of live my life that way, so it's just not, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. It's not a bad way to live, frankly. Right. And plus, you know, actually. Being a rock and roll guy, I had all the right equipment to start doing this podcast. Of course, we've been through, probably six different microphones each in the last year. A couple of mixers, I think, compressor or three, reverb unit, a couple of Skype updates. You know, there it goes.
Yeah. I like the C1.
I know, you're still on that $30 Behringer. John is on this $30 Behringer C1 mic, for those of you that actually care about this sort of thing. And it, you know, you sound good on it. I gotta say, you know, it's funny. And this is just a tangent, but bear with us. We've been doing this for a year for you folks. The other night I was recording some vocals up here in the studio, some sung vocals, and I thought, well, let me see what happens with the Heil PR20, or PR40 rather, since that's what I used to do the show. I had that all set up. And I figured, well, I'll also set up the cheap little Behringer C1. And by cheap, I mean it's inexpensive. Like I said, it's $30. And so I set the C1 up maybe 6 inches away and the Heil right up on me. And I recorded both tracks simultaneously. Man, let me tell you, this Heil sounds great when I'm talking into it. When I sing, this thing just shuts down. The C1 sounded so much better. It actually sounded great. I had no complaints about it whatsoever. So there is something to be said about the Behringer C1. So,
and you've taught me we have dynamic and condenser and probably other types of mics, but we'll...
I believe it's just those two. I think in general, right? There's those.
Well, there's the Telefunken U47,
which is a condenser.
A big tube kind of. Anyways,
yeah, that's right. Moving right along, putting the train back on the tracks for a moment. Anyway, trying to get through some of this stuff. We will actually, you know, one of the things that we got a bunch of emails about was the whole idea, and we talked a little bit about this with Timbuktu, in that with most of us behind routers or firewalls, there is that creates a layer of difficulty from getting from, if you want to connect remotely to your Mac or someone else's Mac across the internet, because the Mac, if you're behind a router or a firewall, but typically most of us are just behind routers so that we can share our internet connection either wirelessly or wired with multiple computers. Mm-hmm. And your Mac actually doesn't talk to the internet directly. It talks via this router. And there's some mojo that goes on, specifically referred to as NAT routing, that allows multiple computers to share the one address that you buy or lease or get from
NAT? NAT. Do you mean network address translation?
Oh, I thought it was Nat King Cole. Anyway.
That's good, too.
It is good, but I believe you were correct. So... But the problem is, you know, when a packet comes in, the router doesn't know what to do with it, right? If an unsolicited packet comes in, something that's trying to remote control your Mac. So you need to somehow either tell the router automatically or manually, yeah, look, take this stuff and route it to me. Now, there is a protocol called UPnP, Universal Plug and Play, that could be used, but I don't believe any of these products use it. And Universal Plug and Play does what you think it might. It automatically programs your router to accept this stuff. That's not utilized by any of this stuff, near as I can tell. However, as we discussed, Timbuktu goes ahead and allows you to do that whole invite thing where you can pierce the NAT routing and get someone into your machine. It also does the Skype tunneling, where that works just fine as well. Remote access does not. So if you want to connect with Apple Remote Access, you need to forward that port. And did you look that up for me, John? Do you remember what port that was?
No, I'll find it.
You didn't
one
look it up.
1 second. 33, I think it's 33. Is it 33 something?
I don't believe it is. You might be right, though. It's 3283 is the port. And I believe it's TCP port 3283. But when you connected to my machine here, I actually forwarded both of them in, John. And the way that you do this, it's different for every router. I know a lot of us have Linksys routers, and a lot also have, the Apple Airport base stations. On the Linksys routers, you log into your router, go to Applications and Gaming. The first tab that comes up is Port Range Forwarding. And you'd put in, you can name it Apple Remote Desktop. Start and end ports are the same, 3283. Set the protocol to both, and then the IP address of the machine internal to your network that you want to use. Apple, the Apple Airport, I believe it's there's the port forwarding tab, and you do something similar there. Much simpler, though, to get these instructions from our favorite site, or one of them. Of course, our favorite site is MacObserver.com. I mean, you know.
But of course.
That goes without saying. That's right. PortForward.com is our favorite site when we want to find out this information. And you can get that link, if you can't remember PortForward.com, from MacGeekGab.com, where we have the show notes. And of course, you can send your audio comments and text comments to MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com. So, That's port forwarding for Apple Remote Desktop. Do you remember the port forwarding address for PC Anywhere? I believe that's 5984.
Flexible.
5641 and 5642 are the two for PC Anywhere. And were you quick enough to go and look up the Timbuktu ports, John?
Of course not.
Oh, God. I believe it uses port 407 on Timbuktu. At least the hardwired support is done for port 407. TCP and UDP port 407.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I confirm that.
Thanks. I appreciate you confirming that for me there, John.
Mm-hmm. So open your ports only if you trust.
That's right. Yeah. Make sure, you know, I mean, when I set that thing up for John last week, so that we could test it, I opened it up, let him do it. And then when we were done after that, later that night, I did it during the show because he was, you know, weirding me out. I just unchecked the enable box in my Linksys router and away it went. So,
but you know, I would bet if you had a logging router. Or you may log your routes anyways. You probably see some people, especially on a cable network.
Oh, yeah.
They're very curious. I've set this up. You know, I call it a honeypot or some other thing where you just set up something that looks attractive. It has, you know, like Windows ports open, but it doesn't. Nothing. It just logs the attempt. And that's entertaining. But yes, granted. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Go. And then once you connect, then Scott's got a question about authentication issues.
This is Scott from Olympia, Washington. Unfortunately, with the second question of the day, I was just listening to the Mac Observer show regarding Apple Remote Desktop, and I installed that on my computer, and I went to get on my wife's computer, and it showed it fine, showed that she was in the Finder, everything like that. But when I tried to observe or anything like that, it kept saying authorization failed, even though I used her password. Tried what Apple said, which was setting up a separate account. Did that. Same thing. Tried to sign in under that account. Still said that it failed. The authorization failed. So I'm wondering if you guys have any solutions or ideas what might be going on there. Couldn't find anything on the Apple support page. So when Apple fails, you guys pick up the slack.
That's right. That's the new slogan right there. When Apple fails, we pick up the slack. Unless you're a shareholder and you're looking for, you know, like some sort of handout or something. And I know what it is. For the wrong guys. Do you know the answer?
Yeah. Well, he said he was doing it on his wife's computer, right?
Yeah.
She's really smart. She's messing with him.
Well, it could be that. Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's right. Most of us geeks marry women that are smarter than us. I think the other thing is that when you enable, if you go into the sharing system preference pane and you check Apple Remote Desktop, you also then need to click on access privileges. And you need to assign privileges to the user that you want to let log in. Again, as we stated last week, whatever user you let in will see the desktop as it exists on the computer. So if you let user A in and user B is logged in locally, when user A comes in remotely, they will see what is on user B's screen, just to make that crystal clear. But if you haven't allowed any access, then it will let you out. So I'm thinking that was Scott's problem. Perhaps it's not. Perhaps it's a firewall issue. But it sounds like he was getting further than the firewall would have let him. It sounds like he was able to attempt to log in, and then it was bouncing you out.
Well, I'll have to try that, actually, to turn off some of the things and see what the error message is. If it's you know, something useless, which I've gone on about before, about useless error messages. Error one.
Yeah.
Please. No. Unknown error. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
The unknown error has occurred.
Yeah, I always appreciate that one.
And I write software. It just kills me when people do that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, English or whatever language. I don't care.
It does it right. Yes. Pick a language. Number. Yes. I can use Google to translate it. Yeah.
Okay.
So one thing we did last week with great fervor was to lambaste the
they got skewed.
The inaugural offering of Symantec's PC Anywhere for Mac. And I did actually have a chance to speak with them last week after we did the show, and asked him a lot about what was going on. And you know, the first thing I said was, you know, this installation process, well, it sucks. You know, and I was pretty blunt with him. I said, look, you know,
That pretty much sums it up, I think.
Yeah, I wish I had a nicer way to start this conversation. I wish I had some compliments to give you, but, you know, okay, it works once you get it installed, kind of.
After we turbo geeked on it.
Yeah, after we turbo geeked, and they said, well, did you read the card that comes in the box? And I said, frankly, no. I said, look, the way we work here is we act like users. You know, we don't go through, pour through every bit of documentation.
Did you tell them we could have read the manual if we
got
had installed the product?
No, they,
which
there's
tells
a little,
you how to.
There's a little card that came in the box okay. or something that's supposed to tell us. But whatever, it you know, I said I took the CD out.
I don't like the card.
I put it in and it didn't work. You know, that was as far as I got. And they said, yeah, you know, we understand that it's it doesn't work that way, the way you would expect it to work. And I said, well, yeah. And they said, but it was important. We felt that doing this, it was important to authenticate it as root, that you wanted to have, you know, root. And I said, well, okay, I can appreciate that. But
can you do it with a dialogue box?
And that's what I said. And I said, you know, the installer isn't Mac-like at all. And they said, yeah. It was more important for us to make it cross-platform, i.e., you know, Linux, etc.
And bad.
I said, well, yeah. And I said to him, I said, well, it's, you know, it's not even universal on the Mac. I said, it's really not even cross-platform there. And they said, yeah, Apple surprised us with that. So they are working on it. They do understand that there is a Mac way of doing things. They wanted to get this version of the product out. Why, you know, hey, we all make our business decisions, right? So, they did what they did. The one thing they did point out to me, though, and this was actually very important, in addition to the host and client software that you install on your computer, there is yet another option, and that is what they call their web client. You do need to buy the software to get access to it, near as I can tell, but that works on the Intel Macs just fine, and frankly, it was a better experience. The way the windows resized and everything was better, and I was able to connect to machines really quickly. There was no installation.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you're just looking to connect to Windows client, to Windows hosts, then you've got a good solution there in that web client. I have to say it works much better than we reported for the installable client. So I wanted to make sure we got that out there.
Excellent.
It is excellent. Hey, I don't know if you noticed today, John, but on TMO and actually all across the Backbeat Media Network, you know, we gave away iPod Nanos for the podcast demographic survey. Well, we are doing website demographic survey on TMO and the other sites that Backbeat Media represents. So if you have a moment, go ahead to TMO. There'll be a link there. We'll make sure there's a link in the show notes to the survey. Go ahead and fill out the survey. Again, this is for the website, not for the podcast specifically. So the questions will be tailored a little bit there, but I did want to let everyone know that there's at least another Nano, if not more than one Nano, hanging out there.
A Nano?
Yeah, waiting to be won.
I got one.
I know you do.
The very nice.
It is a very nice. And yeah, and that's that. You know what? You know what I realized? I realized, John, as I was going through this here? We've been doing this show for a year. You know how long I've known you? I've known you 20 years. Almost exactly, actually. It was sometime in the summer that we had met. But 20 years. Can you imagine that? That's a long time. That's longer than I've known anyone that's currently in my life that's not family. So, there you go.
Getting all teary.
I got a tear in me eye. Moving right along.
Next.
All right. You know what? We're gonna let Sharon.
Sharon, I like Sharon.
I know you like Sharon, and this is gonna well, whatever.
Hi, John and Dave. This is Sharon and Tambon. John, I have to agree with you. People shouldn't drive and talk at the same time.
We're gonna revisit this.
Them, and
there you go.
I don't know why, but it does. Even with the headset, even with hands free.
Yeah.
That said, I'm curious about how to travel with my computer. I have a laptop. I use, I've been putting all of my media stuff on a separate hard drive. And when I go to Michigan next month for a few weeks, I don't want to take my hard drive with me, although I probably will just for a backup. But there's really not a place for me to set it up and keep it there. And who wants to do the whole mounting, unmounting, and all that crap? So my question is,
get it out.
How do I then bring back, or how do I merge my iPhoto library and listening to podcasts, because I'll be downloading them. How do I merge those two libraries easily without losing? I know when you do it with the iPhoto, you end up losing information, and yes, I like to go and tag them all and do all the comments so that I can find them easier. Help me with that, and thanks for the podcast. It's definitely the best, the only geek show I can listen to, and I don't know what it is, if it's the conversation, if it's Dave's extreme peppiness, or if it's, it's probably John's, you know, under the radar sly comments that I love the best. So, thank you. Bye.
Well, you got a fan there, man. Look at that.
That was a warm fuzzy. So,
it is, yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
You do? You don't know what the answer is?
I suspect a part of it. What I've done in the past is, and you can help update me, but is to copy the entire folder from the source machine to the machine you're going to, the external to the internal. A lot of times when I go on the road, I will copy over from one machine the entire folder, bring that along. But I suspect I'm not getting some of the preference files when
That's
I do
right.
that. Though I have done it in the past with some programs and it works out. But I think you've probably done this. Unfortunately, I haven't had to do this in quite a while, or otherwise I just I'll drag them over from the machine I had on the road to the main machine, which is not elegant. But this has come up a lot. You know, I hope Apple's listening.
In keeping with the whole rock and roll tradition of our show, and for some reason this one in particular, I thought I knew the answer to this when it came in. You know, I heard her comment, and I thought, oh yeah, okay, I got this. And then as I'm listening to it, I thought, what I thought it was isn't it. And so while I was listening to her comment, I remember the other day I had to download a new copy of a new version of Castaway, the program that both John and I use to prune our library of podcasts and that sort of thing. And the folks at Wooden Brain Concepts, who make Castaway, also make a piece of software that I just happened to notice called MoveTunes. And it copies or moves iTunes files from volume to volume. It handles lists of artists, albums, iTunes songs, export files, and it retains ratings, played count, beats per minute, playlists, all of that stuff. So I think that's what Sharon's looking for here. I hope I believe I've understood her correctly, and I hope that MoveTunes from Wooden Brain Concepts, and I think they're at woodenbrain.com.
Yeah, she also mentioned, I think, iPhoto you were talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, and that, you know, you get a big honking flash card or SD card or whatever. They're getting big. I think the flash cards are up to 4 gigs now.
Yeah, that's not enough to hold a worthy iTunes library, though.
Pictures. Pictures. Yeah, you could take that up. Yeah.
Well, especially with the way iPhoto does it, right? Because it saves multiple copies of every picture. So.
Yeah, thumbnails. I haven't looked in detail, but...
There are utilities that let you manage multiple iPhoto libraries that may help you out. I haven't used a whole lot of them. You're right. That's the other half of her question. So if anyone out there knows of the way to do this with iPhoto, let us know. MacGeekGab@MacObserver.com. I do want to address her thing. You know, we started talking about this cell phone while driving thing, and it was toward the end of a show, and I actually made a mistake. I should have just let it go, because that's the beauty of the podcast. You just let it go. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I sort of wrapped it up and moved us on. We got a truckload of email about this, so we're gonna revisit this now, because I've thought a lot about this, and I imagine you have too, John. Now, Sharon tended to agree with your assertion that cell phones should not be talked upon while driving. And certainly she's right, and certainly you're right, right? That, I mean, obviously doing something like that, talking, doing anything while you're driving is going to distract you to some level. A cell phone mm-hmm. may distract you more or less than other things, but, you know, what you and I were talking about was the whole thing with emotional conversations on the cell phone. And certainly, you know, if you're talking to someone in a very heated conversation and find yourself getting distracted, well, that's a time to stop, you know, obviously.
But not just that, but I think also the context of the situation is that if somebody's, so somebody may be like, well, it's like the person riding with you. Well, not really, because they realize when there may be danger or you got to pay attention. And
why would
they? They won't continue to yak with you. Well,
I mean, if you're not noticing, how would the person in the passenger seat not, you know, why would they notice more than the person that's supposed to be driving, right?
Well, because they're doing less. They're just sitting there talking. They're not sitting there talking, operating a huge metal death machine. So.
All right. Well, then I'll give you this. I'll give you this. What about an audiobook? Should you be listening to an audiobook, a really involved audiobook while you're driving? And does that not
approach
the same?
I see it as like the radio. No, I see that as one way. You're consuming it, and you can shut it off when you want.
Mm.
Conversation can potentially be more engaging, and the person on the other end doesn't realize what situation you're in. I mean, I've heard, you know, radio commentators tape people talking on the phone, and as they're talking, they're like, "What happened? I just got in an accident."
Oh.
And I've heard these, and they're hilarious. And many people are okay, thank goodness.
Yeah. See, now, because
there are many distractions, I agree, but you should try to minimize them. And whenever I see a vehicle speeding up, slowing down, swerving, not signaling, not whatever, in all likelihood, it's somebody talking on their phone, or they could be screaming at the kids. I've seen that too. They're screaming or reaching back to hit something.
Yes.
or someone.
Or eating, right? I mean, eating's another one of those things that should it be done while you're driving? Probably not. And I'm going to argue this, though, because there have been many times where if I was sitting in the car, either doing nothing other than driving, of course, the driving is a given for these particular examples. But if I was sitting in the car, either doing nothing or listening to music on the way home from a gig late at night, I may fall asleep and drive off the road. I mean, there's no question. I do remember one time recently, though, back this fall, I had a gig at Foxwoods Casino, which is about 3 hours from the house. And we did three nights there, and I didn't want to stay the third night. And I figured my sleep schedule would probably be altered enough such that I could pack up after the gig and drive home, and I'd be all right. But, I was a little worried about it. So what I did was I made sure Brian, our esteemed editor at MacObserver.com.
Hi, Brian.
I made sure that he was home, because he's a night owl and he lives on the West Coast, so he's 3 hours behind anyway. And I called him. I told him, I said, I might call you. And I did about 30 minutes into the drive, maybe 40 minutes into the drive. I started noticing, okay, I'm a little sleepy here. And I was going to stop and get a hotel room if it just wasn't going to work. But I figured, well, let me call Brian and see what happened. I talked to Brian for 2.5 hours and talked to him until I pulled into the driveway. And it was great. Had I not talked to him, I would not have been able to stay awake during that drive. Now, it wasn't a heated emotional conversation. It was mostly just two guys hanging out talking, and he and I know each other fairly well, and he knew that I was driving. So, you know, when I had to not talk to him or whatever, it wasn't an issue for him. But that was one instance where talking on the phone made it so that I could drive. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I'll close with about half the time I see somebody do something stupid like cut me off or just do something unpredictable, they're talking on a phone and they just don't have enough, you know, appendages to operate the vehicle properly.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's a lot of there's a lot of people out there that simply shouldn't be allowed to operate a motor vehicle. You know, it's treated in this country as a right versus a privilege, but I think we've gone probably far enough on this tangent thanks to Sharon.
Back
see, it wasn't really a tangent. It wasn't really a tangent. Hey, okay, so check out our Frapper map, frapper.com/MacGeekGab podcast. We've had this for a while. We've talked about it before. Haven't talked about it in a while. You folks keep joining it. You keep finding it in the show notes and such. But for those of you that never visit the show notes, probably because you're listening to Michael's enhanced AAC version of this show, see how I pimped two things at once there? But
nice.
Anyway.
How about the show notes? Yeah.
Hey,
they're looking good lately.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it seems like the show notes have moved up a notch here, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why. John's been doing the show notes. John has taken over that duty for me. Thank you very much, John, for that.
I have a little fun. So
it is fun. Yeah, it should be fun. I always had fun doing them. I just couldn't find the time. Where are we in this little shindig here? We're at the 30-minute mark already. Holy moly.
Yeah.
You know, we've had...
get moving here. Andrew? How about Andrew?
Yeah, we've, you know, in our one topic segment that we kind of keep floating out there is this cool stuff that either you or we found, and one of them is sort of related to a topic that we discussed a couple of weeks back. So we'll let Andrew Darlow take it away. At least I think we will.
Is he taking it? Give it to him.
I'm not sure where he took it to. Huh. This is really good. So if this doesn't work, I'm actually going to pause the show and...
Yeah, pause.
And find it, because it would be a good thing to have. But it doesn't seem like it's going to work. I bet it'll work right now.
Hey, John and Dave. This is Andrew Darlow from theimagingbuffet.com. Just thought I'd put in my 4 cents about keeping your laptop cool when it's either on your lap or even on the desk. Since it's been coming up a lot on your show and on a lot of the other Mac-related podcasts. So first, I'll give my personal experience with a few products. First, at Macworld, I saw some of the products from Rain Design, which is raindesigninc.com.
Yeah, very cool.
They have an iLap 12, a 14 for the new MacBooks, a 15W and 17W for MacBook Pros, and a 15 PC and 17 PC for most PC laptops. And what's nice about those products, if you're at home, you have like a little cushion that you put in the front of it, and it's really comfortable if you're sitting in a chair or possibly when you're laying in bed. I just sat in a chair and I tested it at Macworld, and I was very impressed by it. The only problem is it's not easily collapsible, so you can't just put it into a bag. And the price is between $50 and $70. The other option, which I've been using for like the last year or so, is called Laptop Desk version 2.0. It's from a company called Lapworks. It's just a strong plastic support base. It can be used with just about any laptop. I use it on a 17-inch PowerBook G4, which is known for its toastiness. And essentially, you can use it two ways. You can use it flat or propped up like an alligator's mouth. So I usually use it propped up. It has like a little stick that you can easily put up or down so that it can be completely flat. And I usually use it just propped up in the highest position, either on my lap or even in bed or on a table. It doesn't really matter. It makes typing a lot easier as well because of the way in which it angles up the whole machine. It weighs about 22 ounces, and I bring it everywhere with me. I put it right up against where my laptop is, and I think it adds a lot of extra protection, at least on that side. You can find it at laptopdesk.net. They also have one called the Ultralight, which might be fine for a MacBook or really a lightweight a PC laptop, but it's not nearly as strong as a Laptop Desk 2.0, which is like rock solid. I also have a review on my site on the right side at imagingbuffet.com. So that's it for now. Stay cool, gentlemen, and keep up the Mac geek gabbing.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. That was
I'm
worth
cool.
It for me. Yeah.
Are you cool?
Well, I'm cool. My MacBook Pro is, it's somewhere in that lukewarm to boiling hot range.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Andrew, for sending that in. One thing that Andrew sent me a couple of weeks ago was a very cool photocast kind of thing that he did on his imagingbuffet.com site of the New York City Mac store. Very, very, very cool thing. He did it. It's worth checking out. Take some time. Take 2 minutes. Hopefully there will be a link in the... I can say this because it's not my responsibility. There will be a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
And hopefully there will be a link in the AAC.
I'm right now.
You're doing it right now. Look at that. Are you building the show notes while we're doing the show? That's not allowed, you know.
By the time we're done, they'll be done.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're good. Send them to me. I'll put them up online. That'll be great.
You got them already, even though we don't know how else we're going to talk about.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, and it's great. I'm really, really happy that that technology and all of the various political organizations out there have finally come together. You know, this weekend, Lisa and I, we've got two kids here. And so going out to the movies, going out is expensive. We have to, you know, hire a babysitter. And that's, you know, a babysitter will wind up costing you $50 or $60 for the night. And then if you're going to wind up getting a babysitter, well, you might as well get dinner. So there's $100, right? And then, you know, you go to the movies and somehow that's $50. And so it's, you know, it's a $200 proposition to go watch a flick. And I'm so glad that now we have the ability, all the movie companies have come together and I can just pay $25 and sit in my living room and watch, you know, feature films like Da Vinci Code. I mean, we had a great time just being able to do that. The kids were, of course, upstairs asleep, right?
Just Comcast?
No, it doesn't exist. It should exist, though, shouldn't it? Doesn't that make sense? You know, why do they make it so that we have to be criminals to do something like that? Why?
Well, they're working on it, but the one in this area, they just had a lawsuit because apparently Cablevision wants to offer a virtual DVR, and a lot of the companies said, "Oh no, that's violating the license agreement." And they're like, "But it's what the user would do anyways, or the customer would do anyways. We're just saving it on their behalf." And they're like, "No, no, you got to license it again." It's like, duh. Yeah. Okay, guys, but they're not, you know, but even with the reality, people get it for free or they pay you so they can access it.
That's the key right there.
Make the choice.
You make
the
choice.
Nothing or you want something.
That's right. And you know what? I would have been happy to pay $25 to sit in my living room to watch Da Vinci Code, you know, on my plasma screen, sitting on my couch, drinking a glass of my wine with my kids upstairs. I would have been happy to pay $25 to do that. But you know what? They wouldn't let me. Let that be a lesson to you. So, but you know what we did do this weekend? We took the kids out to see Cars. Fantastic movie. $50, though, to get the kids to and from the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Movies and popcorn and all that.
The cage.
Stuff.
The cage.
A cage?
The cage. No, I'll tell you about it.
Okay, yeah. And if anybody wants to know about it, you can just email John directly. No need to bother emailing me. You just go right to John on that one. All right, so let's wrap this thing up. We're at the 37-minute mark. We have a couple of things we're going to do for you. I know that I promised that we would play you the full version of the answer, which is actually the name of the tune that that opens and closes the show. So we will do that. But I want to actually we'll wrap things up here. Next week we have. I believe next week, if we can work out the timing right, we're going to have a special guest come on, and we're going to have a backup discussion on the show. At TMO this week, actually on Friday, late Friday afternoon, we published the first PDF guide ever, and it's Bob Levitis, Dr. Mac's guide to backing up your Mac. You can see it on the web for free, or if you want to have the PDF version, $3.99 gets you the download of the PDF. And let me tell you, there's some great information in here. So John and I are going to have him on the show next week. We may have to do the show. We're going to do the show on Tuesday because I'm in the White Mountains on Monday. And I think we might have to do the show like a half hour later or something. You people don't care. John and I are the only ones that care to get Bob coordinated. But we're going to figure it out. Bob does his
That's
thing.
That's a tall order.
We're just going to leave it at that. By the time you get next week's show, if all goes according to this loosely organized plan that we call an agenda, you will have Bob Levitis, John, and I chatting simultaneously on your media player of choice. So that's next week. Yes, please go and visit that survey that we're doing at Backbeat Media if you are indeed a reader of TMO or any one of the sites that Backbeat Media manages. Of course, you need to go to Portable Media Expo, and this was downloaded from Cashfly Hosting. We are proud members of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network, and 206-666, what's that number there, John?
Geek.
Oh, yeah, geek. How could I forget? All right, so that's the end of the show. If you are not interested in any more tangential stuff, you're free to tune out now. However,
away with you.
Away with you. That's right. Be gone.
You're still here. You're hardcore.
Hardcore. We've been doing this
thank
for
you.
Yeah. And really, I wanted to say, and John just said it. thank you very much for being a listener. Whether you've been a listener for a week or a year, thank you for being a listener, and thank you for staying subscribed. This has been a fantastic journey. It's been a lot of fun, as you can probably tell. And I hope that you folks get something out of it, either fun, enjoyment, information, or all three. It is fantastic. And hey, John, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
You know, that's actually a great little segue into this. Last night, what I did, I stayed up all night, and I went through, when we do the show, the first thing we do is we connect over Skype, and we chit-chat. We get our levels set, and we just chit-chat. And sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes. You know, it just depends on what's going on with our weeks. And I record all of those because, of course, I want to get the level set. We finish chit-chatting, I stop, and we listen, and et cetera. Last night I went through a lot of them, not all of it, but a lot of it, and I noticed a trend. I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to assemble some of this stuff? And I noticed a trend, and the trend was occasionally when you get two hams in front of a microphone, someone is bound to burst into song. So with that, I think that's a perfect. That's enough. And we're just going to let you hear this. John and I are actually going to tune out so that what you're hearing is all just pre-recorded stuff that has happened over the last year. Again, thank you very much.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Yeah, we should have a sing-along.
I got the Folsom Prison blues.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swing low.
Swing low. Sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Wow. That needs to be erased.
What?
I won the sandbox.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You say I two the sandbox.
I three the sandbox.
I three the sandbox. You say I four the sandbox.
Why?
Just say it. Say I, so I'll say
I four the sandbox.
I five the sandbox.
I six the sandbox.
I seven the sandbox.
I eight the sandbox.
You ate the sandbox? Oh my God.
You're still crowing. You're still going strong. We fill the room. Swing for the bands. Playing one of your all favorite songs from way back when. How's that?
That was nice.
Thank you.
It's great having the record button so close for moments like that. All right, let's get this show on the road. Thanks for a great year, folks. We'll see
you're
next
still
week.
Here? You're still here?
I'm still here.
Go home.
Not you, them.
Wow. That's dedication.